Appreciate the Lord visiting with us. Amen. All right. I hope you heart's ready and prepared, and let's hear from the Word of God tonight. Amen. Now, I want to, just for a few minutes tonight, want to learn something in the Word of God. I want to show you, God help us tonight, I want to show you three verses in the Word of God that are not true.
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody all right? So take your Bible and look with me, please. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, three untrue verses in the Word of God. Now, we have a problem, see, in America. And our problem is we, by the way, I want you to know before I begin that probably some of these verses are going to be some of your life verses. Just thought I'd let you know that as we begin tonight. Because here's what we do. A lot of times we'll take a verse out of the Word of God, we'll pull it out, we'll put it on a piece of paper or on a sign, or put it on our refrigerator, tape it to the front of our Bible, and that becomes our life verse. You know, Americans are lazy. And we'll claim a verse in the Word of God rather than go and look in the context and see what it means and find out what it really says. We'll just pull it out and name and claim it. But I'm going to prove to you tonight it's dangerous to do that. Amen. Well, I'm going to show you three verses that are simply just not true. Is that all right? Well, let's look at them tonight. We'll read the verses, then we'll come back and take each one and quickly review them. Amen. In, let's see, where am I at here? I got to find my passage. Philippians chapter number 4, please. The first verse we're going to look at tonight is verse number 7. Look with me, please. The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. Then the next verse we'll look at tonight, another verse, is verse number 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Everybody likes that verse. And then finally, look with me, please, at verse number 19. Boy, this is a popular one. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Our Father, we thank You tonight for the song we've already heard and the stirring of our heart, Lord. Preparation for the Word of God. Help us tonight now for a little while. Thank You for this church. And Lord, they're precious to me. Thank You for the pastor. He's a dear, dear friend and his family. I love them. I pray You'd bless them. I pray, God, that You'd bless this place. And Lord, help the people of God tonight for a little while. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So back. Let's look back now. Look at verse number 7, if you will. You see, what we've done is we've taken these verses out. We make calendars and put them on calendars and hang them on the wall, you know, and they all look good and they sound good and they're great promises. Amen. But if you don't put them with the context, you're taking them out of context and they're untrue. Amen. Verse number 7 again. Look with me, please. The Bible says, what's the first word? The first word there is the word and. Do you know what the word and is? That's a conjunction. Amen. You remember that? Unction, junction, what's your function? Something like that. Amen. We heard that's whiz little. Amen. But that's a conjunction. That means this. That means that whatever's before is going to connect to whatever's after. Amen. And you have to connect those two if you're going to make it right. Amen. And so in other words, if you don't connect this with something else, you can't just quote that verse and leave it like it stands. It's a lie. It will not work. Amen. The Bible says, he said here, and... Amen. So if you're gonna really enjoy this verse, if you're gonna really understand this verse, you've got to find out what it's connected to. Come on, I'm just trying to help you. Amen. Notice, if you will, here, you know, it's kind of like that, train. You know, that engine's up there, and he's ready to pull off and go down the track. But brother, if you don't connect those 30 boxcars to it, brother, they're going to sit there while that engine rolls. Amen. You've got to have the connection. You've got to have the right connection in the Word of God, or it will not work. Amen. Now look at it. Watch this. I want you to see this. The Bible says, verse 7, and the peace of God. Now watch. Let's just be logical. Can we do that? And the peace of God, which passeth what? All understanding. Is that what it says? Which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and what? Minds. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, it'll give you, it'll keep your heart, and it'll keep talking about the peace of God. Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. Will you help me? Who is he talking to? Who's he talking to? Who, preacher? The saints of God. That's a church epistle, isn't it? That's Paul. That's Paul. God using Paul to speak to the church at Philippi. Isn't that right?
That's right. Amen.
Come on, y'all, help me out here. Everybody all right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying tonight, listen, if you don't get this, you're gonna have a mess. Amen. I'm telling you, you've got to take what's before it, or brother, what comes after it ain't going to work. How can you prove it, preacher? Well, listen, the peace of God, keep your heart and your mind. That ain't what it says. Amen. You say, it is what it says, preacher. Then why come we are to all the pieces? Why come our nerves can't handle it? Why come we taking sleeping medicine? Why come we falling apart, amen, and having to run to this doctor, run to that doctor, get Prozac and this and that and the other, amen? Why come we're nervous wrecks then?
Yeah, that's good.
Come on, you say, preacher, you're preaching against medicine? No, I'm not. That's not the point. I'm trying to show you what it says. The Bible says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, right?
Amen.
Shall keep your hearts and minds. Well, either it's a lie, or you don't need that medication. Come on, I'm trying to help you, amen. Now look, there's nothing wrong with the verse. The problem is you've got to find out what the verse is referring to before you can apply it to your life. Everybody all right? Look at it. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, how? Through Christ Jesus. Now look, that verse, listen to me, that verse would be a lie, except for that little word, and. Everybody all right? Because verse 7 is referring to a verse that's before it. Y'all with me? I done killed a thing. We hadn't started. Look, let me show you something here. Look at verse number 6. You see, watch. You cannot use verse number 7. You cannot pull it out and claim and frame and all those things unless you understand verse 6.
Amen.
Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. Well, how do you know? Look at what it says. First thing he says. He said, be what? Careful?
Amen.
For nothing.
Amen?
Amen? Now, that don't mean watch where you walk.
Yeah, right.
That don't mean careful what you say.
Yeah.
He said, be careful. Don't get full of cares.
Yeah, that's right.
Hello?
Amen.
He said, don't let nothing get you filled up with the cares. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody all right? Let me read it for you. Verse number 6. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Wait a minute. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And you see that? He said, if you will practice verse 6, you can apply verse 7. Hello?
Yeah.
All right. He said, be careful. Don't get filled up with cares. Amen? Now, it's kind of like this. How many of you do this? I know you do. You'll have a little problem come up in your life. And here's what we'll do. Oh, that's a little problem. Lord, I can handle that. If I need you, I'll call you. And we handle it. And then, a little later on, another little problem pops up. And we say, oh, that ain't nothing. That's just a little problem. I'll handle it, Lord. I'll let you know if I have trouble. And then we'll get a third little problem. And a fourth little problem. And about the 11th little problem, all of a sudden, we snap. And we're broken in half. It puts us down. It takes us out. I mean, we're out.
You're right.
And we can't handle it. Are you listening to me? You see, but God said in everything. Hey, give everything. Hey, what's that old song about? Praying this morning, everything to God in prayer. Amen. I'm telling you, if you don't do that, one little care you can handle. Two little cares. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Let me see if I can bring it home to you. We go down to next week, next Monday. We go to work with brother Ronnie, and we're building a CVS store or something. And he ordered a big old dump truck full of bricks. And so here they come. They back up there to the place where we're going to unload the bricks. And what I do is I go up to the truck. And I start unloading it one brick at a time. Amen? And I'll take every brick off that truck one brick at a time. Problem? What if he done this? What if he says, all right, brothers, back it up and dump it? And we're standing right in front of it, and he just dumps the whole load.
Right.
Problem?
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see, you can handle one little problem. You might can handle two little problems. Maybe eight little problems. But here's the problem. There's going to come one sooner or later. Watch. And it's going to be the smallest, stupidest thing you ever seen. And you're going to break. And then the world, these people that you work with, they're standing there looking going, can you believe that got him down? Can you believe that tore him up? Can you believe that little problem worked him over? No, that little one didn't work him over. But those 12 was more than he could handle. Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
That's what it says. So he said, don't get full of cares. Be careful for nothing. Amen. Everybody all right? You see, in order to get the peace of God in your life, you're going to have to take care of that one brick at a time. And you know what? You'd just be better off if you just let God handle it. That's what he's saying. He didn't say, be careful for a few things. He didn't say, be careful for some things. He said, don't let none of it pile up on you. Give it all. Jesus said, the Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Come on, is everybody okay? Amen. I'm telling you. And we wonder why, dear God, we're nervous wrecks. We can't bite our fingernails off, amen, to the quick. And we can't get by and seem like we can't sleep. And we just, I don't know why I'm going to make it, preacher. I just don't. Well, what's the problem? Well, here's the problem. That ain't nothing. But it's those other ones that you got piled up with it. And you can't handle all of them. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. And so he said, give it all to God. Don't be careful. Be careful for nothing. Don't let nothing rise up in your life. Don't let nothing take control of your life. Don't let nothing mount up above you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And he said, that's not all. He said, there's something else you got to do here. Look, notice what he says. If you're going to get the peace of God, amen. Watch verse 6 again. He said, but in everything, is that what yours says? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Amen. You know, when's the last time you just let God know how thankful you were? When's the last time you just thanked him? You know what the Bible tells us? You know what God's telling us? Brother, I know you. This is boring because you don't want to live this. You'd rather take Prozac. But you know what he said? Hey, you need to thank God for everything in your life. Well, mom's got cancer. Yeah? Well, why don't you thank God for it? I didn't say it'd be easy. I didn't say it always seemed right. God's ways are not our ways. Neither his thoughts our thoughts. Hello? I'm telling you, he said in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then there's something to go with it. Then he said, you'll have peace that pass understanding. You want peace? You know what? You know what's amazing about us? We just want that one verse. We want to put it on our calendar. We want to claim it on our calendar. But we don't want to live what it says. I'm telling you, look in my good eye. Verse 7 will not work without verse 6. Everybody all right? Well, let me hurry. Y'all not interested. I'm just going to get through here. Amen. Look what it says here now. We wonder really and truly, we wonder why our marriage is ruined. Our homes are in shambles. Amen. Our jobs are a mess. Our lives falling apart. We can't seem to get nothing together. Everything's just tearing us to pieces. Amen. We just cry all the time. We can't get ourselves together. It seems like we're a nervous wreck. Nothing's working. But you're not doing what he said. Well, let's move on. Let's try something else. You say, I said that's not a true verse by itself. You can't use it by itself. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'm glad. I'll show you one better than that. Look at verse 13. Watch this now. Let me help you. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Y'all stay around tonight. Just as soon as we're done, your pastor's going to go out there. He's going to put on his Superman cape. He's going to climb up on the rooftop out here, and he's going to jump off, make three laps in the air around the parking lot, and land right in the middle.
Amen.
You think he'll do that? You think he will? You know what? Look at me. He'll bust his full neck. Amen. You say, why? Watch! Because he cannot do all things. Come on, I'm trying to help you. He can't do all things. You mean you're going to... Alright, so you're going to leave here and go live underwater for the next 2 days. Without oxygen. No. You're going to fly to the moon.
Go ahead, brother.
Come on, how stupid is that?
Yeah,
preacher, that ain't what he meant. Well, you tell me what he meant. All things is all things. But you can't take it out of the context.
That's right.
You've got to stay in his context. Well, you know, it's just, he meant what he said. And you can't claim that verse. You can't pull that verse out. And that's what's wrong with the charismatic movement. They're pulling out that verse and they're trying to claim it for their life. And brother, their life is filled with disappointment. It's filled with heartbreak. It's filled with sorrow because they wonder why God didn't do it.
Yeah, that's good, brother.
Hello? I just don't understand. I thought I was filled with anointing, filled with the Holy Ghost. Why didn't he heal my ear?
Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
Because your name ain't Malchus.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But he said I can do all things. Amen. But he didn't say all things. Yes, he did, preacher. He said all things. But don't take it out of the context. Hello? Can't do all things. Are you nuts? I can do all things. You gonna walk on water?
Go ahead. Come on.
Hello? Amen? So you know. Listen, folks. Look at me. You know that verse is not true. Verse 13 says, I can do what?
All
things. Amen? I'll tell you what let's do. Let's find out what he's talking about. Is that all right? So let's go. If you want to know the things that he's talking about, let's go back and find them. Look at verse number 8. Look at what it says. Now listen, you know what he said in verse 13? I can do all what?
Things.
The key word in that passage is things. We need to find out what things is he talking about.
Amen.
Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever. You know that God's amazing, ain't he? Whatsoever things are true. Do you know in Jesus Christ, in Him, it's possible you don't have to tell another lie.
Come on. Yeah.
Come on.
That's good.
Yeah.
You don't have to be labeled a liar.
That's right.
He said, well, look at it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you can do. Whatsoever things are honest, you can do. Whatsoever things are just, you can do. Whatsoever things are pure, you can do. Whatsoever things are lovely, you can do. Whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Things. Everybody all right? He said, whatsoever things are what? True. Amen. Whatsoever things are honest. Do you know, do you realize it is possible to be truthful and still be dishonest?
Come on.
Everybody all right? You can be dishonest without telling a lie. You can tell the truth and still be dishonest. All right, let me give you an illustration. All right, here's, let's see. Let me put my glasses on here. As a young fella in here, going to take somebody to the prom, I understand.
Come on.
Where are they at?
Yeah.
Come on, fess up. Raise your hand. There they are, right back there. Y'all look at them. No, I'm just kidding. There's a young man, he asked a girl to go to a prom where they're going to dance and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's going to have dancing there. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Of course, he might be not telling whatsoever things are true, you know.
Yeah. Come on.
And so he calls her up and he says, how about go with me down to the Dairy Queen? Let's go get something to eat at the Dairy Queen. Well, I'll have to ask my mama. And she says, hold on. So she asks mama. And she says, mama, can we go down to Dairy Queen? And mama says, well, I'll tell you what. You go straight to the Dairy Queen. Don't go nowhere else. And you'll be home by 10. Or was it 9, brother?
It ain't.
9, mama. All right. So, okay. Mama said we can go. And he comes over, picks her up. Guess where they went? Down to Dairy Queen. Amen? And they left the Dairy Queen, went down to the lake. And they sat there and watched the ducks a while. And they left the lake, went back home. She was in 410. And Mama said, honey, where you been? And she said, we've been to Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Now look at me. Did she tell the truth?
Yeah.
Was she dishonest?
Yeah. That's right.
See, it's possible to be truthful. I got somebody I know down where I live, and their life is like that.
Yeah.
That's everything they say to you, they're really saying something else.
Yeah.
But you've got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Amen? They're not telling the whole truth. You know what he said? He said, all things are possible with him. Amen? He said, I can tell the truth. Hey, you know what? It's possible with through Jesus Christ, you don't ever have to lie again. It's possible that you can be honest as well. You're going to have to quit being a used car salesman. Amen. Well, anyway, that didn't hurt you none. Amen. Look at what it says. Look at verse number 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are what?
Pure.
Amen. Do you know, folks, listen to me, young people. It is possible for Jesus Christ. I don't care if the world goes absolutely stark raving mad. You can still have your purity. You can still be decent. You can still be right with God. You can still walk down that aisle, amen, and marry him or marry her with purity in your body, purity in your heart. He said, why? Because through Christ, you can do all these things, amen.
That's good, brother.
Whatsoever things are pure. Amen? That what he said? Whatsoever things are lovely. You big old he-man you. You big old hunk of burning love. That's what Elvis was. That's what he is right now. Hunk of burning love. Amen? And do you know what? You never did have when you was growing up. Mama never said she loved you. Daddy never done nothing but beat you and run you out of the house. And he never said, I love you one time. But you listen to me. You can still love them youngins. You can still set them on your knee and hug them and tell them you love them. You big old burly thing, you. You he-man of he-mans. You can still love one another, amen. You can still hug a brother in church. You can still tell them that you love. Amen. How can I do that, preacher? Hey, you can do all these things through Christ, which strengthens you. Hello. Amen. Whatsoever things are of a good report. You know, you can do that through Christ. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, you can do whatever you do. Look at me, men. Well, look at me, lady. Whatever you do on Friday night, you can come in here and give a full report to the church. Whatever you did Saturday night, whatever you did Thursday night, you can give a good report of it. Amen.
Right. Yep. Come on, man.
How can I do that, preacher? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen? He said, verse 9, those what? Things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of all of peace shall be with you. Amen. Isn't that good? Listen, can I tell you, can I ask you a question? Doesn't it make it so much easier when you know the context? Listen, don't that just make that verse real now? It's possible to love people. It's possible to be honest now. But you still can't fly around the parking lot. And you still can't walk on water. Because that's not the all things he's talking about. I don't guess you getting it. I don't know. Let's go on here. Look at verse 19. I'll finish up. Amen. Verse number 19, look at it. I know you like this verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, he said, verse 19, what's the first word? Do you know that's the sister to the word and?
That's right.
Amen? And they both work the same. Amen? He said, but my God shall supply all. Can I ask you a question? Is anybody Christians I'm talking to? Wouldn't you like to be able to get on your knees tonight and ask God for something and pray and know before you stood up it was answered? Are you with me? Wouldn't you like to be able to ask God for something and know before you ever got off, I know that's going to be taken care of. Amen? Do you realize that's what he's talking about? Amen. That's what he's referring to. You've got to read starting in verse 14, though, if you're going to find out the context. Can we read it real quick? Look at it. Look at verse number 14. He's talking to the church, isn't he? Amen. Look what he says. Verse number 14. The Bible says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the church you given to him.
That's right.
Amen. Look at verse number 15. Watch what it says here. He said, verse number 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, watch, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only.
That's right.
Isn't that something? He said, look, you gave to me, guys.
That ain't
all. Look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. He said, you didn't just give, you gave consistently.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And wait a minute. Look at verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and bound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He said, number one, you gave. Number two, you gave consistently. Number three, you gave sacrificially. You sacrificed to give. Amen? Now, you know what he's talking about. It ain't a bit of difference. It ain't a bit of difference. If you help somebody, you give to the church. I'm not talking about your tithe. That's not yours. That's God's. You don't get to ask about it. That's not your money. That's God's money. You don't even have to discuss it with Him. Can I help you? You're sitting here tonight, and you've been saved more than 6 months, and you still don't know the principle of tithing, you got some serious problems. You can't even give God back what is His. You're in trouble. Hello? But you know what he's talking about? He's talking about you helping others. He's talking about you helping the church. He's talking about you sending missions, helping missionaries. And you're giving out to them, and every time you do, God's taking a record of it in heaven. You're laying up treasures in heaven. He's taking that and he's putting it right over here in your account. Amen? And now all of a sudden, something happens. A need arises in your life. And you go, oh Lord, what am I going to do? And so you get on your knees and you pray. And you say, Lord, now, I don't know what to tell you except my air conditioning broke down. I got to leave town. And the wife, you know, she's going to be here by herself and it's getting hot. And I don't know what to do if you don't help. Why use that one, preacher? I just used it 2 weeks ago. And so God says, all right, well, just hang on a minute. And he goes over here. And he says, let's see, let's find his name. Found his name, pull it out. Yep, it's his money. Throw some back at him. And he takes care of it. And you pray and ask for it, and you can know you're going to have it taken care of because you already laid it up. Come on, folks, that's the way God works. You mean the same God that said, if a man don't work, neither should he eat? Same God. Amen? I'm telling you. You're not going to outgive God. You're not going to stand and shake your fist at God's face and say, you owe me when it's over. You're not going to do that. Spend your life scraping and robbing and cheating people, lying, stealing, trying to get ahead because you won't just do what's right.
Amen.
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 You call on God. God, I'm in trouble. I need help. I need that. What was your name again?
Yeah.
Who is that angel?
Yeah.
Do we know him? Has he talked to us before? Yeah, I guess, but it's just been so long ago, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
Just lay something up there every day.
Amen.
Help somebody every day.
Yeah, good,
I'm telling you, when you need it, God will make sure He rushes it to you. I remember, I'll never forget when I went into tent ministry, when I first started in evangelism. I'm telling you, I had a brother in the Lord, is a good friend at the time, and he sat down across from me, about far from you, brother, and here's what he told me. He said, "Brother Joe, you're a fool. You're going to quit your job. You're going to shipwreck your home. God ain't in this."
Go ahead, preacher.
I said, "I know God put it in my heart to go full time." He said, "I don't care what." He said, "I'm telling you, you're going to shipwreck your home. God ain't in it." I thought he was my friend. And he really had me worried. I was scared. And I went home and I got on my knees. And I said, "Lord, I'm sorry, but I just quit my job two weeks ago. I said, I got a house payment due Tuesday morning. I said, I don't have no money. I said, if you ever want to show me, I need some help. I can't stay full time in the ministry if I can't eat." I'm sure I've told you this. I went the next day, didn't even have a service that morning with anybody, and I went over to Men Hill to Faith Baptist Church Sunday night. And Brother Rick something, can't remember his last name. And I went over to the church. And I presented the tent ministry, told them what I was doing, missionary to America, and had a great meeting, had a good time in the Lord. Church wrote me a check for $50. Go ahead. Now I'm standing at the back door shaking hands. A little old woman came up, probably in her mid-70s. She said, "Preacher, you don't know me." She said, my son spent 2 terms in Vietnam. She said, he just died just a few weeks ago. Left me a little money. He said, "Mama, take this money and use it." He said, "I love America." He said, "Won't you do something to help America?"
Amen.
She said, "Preacher, I can't think of a better thing to use it for."
Amen.
And she gave me a check. I put it in my pocket. Me and my wife shook hands, got in the car, got a call that my sister was in the hospital. We got in the car and raced to the hospital. Halfway to the hospital, I remembered that check she put in my pocket. And I pulled it out of my pocket and I gave it to my wife. I said, "Here, see what that is." And she started crying. I said, "What's the matter? What is it?" She said, "It's our house payment."
Amen.
I went home. I'm telling you what happened. And I told my wife, I said, "You see this chest of drawers? You take that third drawer right there and you open it up." I said, "Every time a check comes in, put it in there. Every time a donation comes in, put it in there. Every dollar that comes in, you put it in that drawer." I said, "Every time we need to pay bills, take money out and pay the bills." And I'm telling you, I spent 5 or 6 years, the first 5 or 6 years in my ministry, and never saw the bottom of that drawer.
Amen, preacher.
Matter of fact, within 3 weeks of that happened, my wife and I, 3 weeks later, was in a grocery store in Monroe, North Carolina, buying groceries. We looked down the aisle, and there was the wife of that man that stuck his finger in my face, and he said, "God ain't in this. You're going to shipwreck your home." And you know what God let me do? Buy their groceries. Are you listening to what I'm saying, folks? You see, you lay it up, and God will give it back when you need it. It's not just money. It's anything. You know what that book says? Give. Watch. And it, not money, it shall be given unto you. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, if you're sitting here and you're one of them that comes to the pastor once a week and says, why don't nobody love me? Why don't nobody care? I got you. I got a question. Why don't you love somebody? You know why you don't get? Because you don't give. Is everybody all right? Well, preacher, I just don't know if I just can't get over this. I just seem like I just nobody cares. Why don't you care for somebody?
Yeah,
that's right. He said, give and it. What's the it, preacher? Whatever you give,
yeah,
it'll be given back.
Yeah,
you're not going to outgive God. Everybody, all right? I'm telling you, folks, if you ever get this, if you just get a hold of this simple message tonight, I mean the whole message, and you put them into context, they will properly work in your life. I just don't understand. Seems like I can't never get ahead. Never got anything. No, every time I get something, it just goes right through my pockets. I can't keep nothing, preacher. I know. And I get up at least once a month in the pulpit and tell him why.
Yep.
And you know what? He still don't get it.
Yep.
Right.
Come on, I'm trying to help you. You know what? You know what I did when I started the tent ministry? I was so happy to be serving God, brother. Is everybody all right? Can I have five more minutes? I was so happy to be serving God, Brother Ted. We put the tent up. I put it up 2 hours from where I was working when I first started. I'd work a job 8 hours, drive to the tent 2 hours, and hold a tent meeting that night, put everything back on the bus, lock it up. Sleep with the tent, drive back to work, work all day, take a shower at work, drive back to the tent, and I did that for a year. And I was happy. I just was glad to be in the service. And you know what? I was so happy, I'd leave my wife and kids at home, and I'd stay with that tent, wasn't nowhere for them to sleep. And I slept on the platform right behind the pulpit every night under that tent. Wilkerson Boulevard, Charlotte, North Carolina. With the drug traffic and the bootleggers and the rum runners and the harlots. And I set my clock, put my gun under the pulpit, set my clock, and lay down right there under that on that platform. That's where I slept. I was in a church one night holding a revival. We had a little revival meeting. A missionary was sitting in there, a missionary to Mexico. He'd been on deputation for about 2 years. I didn't know him from Adam. He didn't know me. He came up to me after the service. I preached that night. He came up and he said, preacher, he said, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're doing. He said, I heard a little bit about your ministry. He said, but I sat there and God just irritated me to death. He said, I'm fixing to go back to Mexico and I got this 32-foot camper and I don't need it. I wish you'd take it. And God gave me a camper. Showed me how to set the radio to a motion sensor. And now I'm sleeping in a camper. Pulling a camper with a box van. And a tent ministry. And I stayed in that camper for about a year. And I was glad to be in the ministry. I never asked God one time for a camper. I was satisfied sleeping behind the pulpit. I was sitting in a church holding a revival. And I'm sitting, the pastor came in and looked at the camper. And we sitting there talking, sitting on the couch. All of a sudden something started smoking. It smelled like wires burning. And it was. I had done seen it a dozen times. I knew what it was. Some wires had catch a little fire and burned a little bit, you know. And I'd cut the thing off and unplug them a little bit, let them cool down, plug them back up. Everything would be all right. Well, he sat there and smelled that smoke. Went outside in the tent meeting that night, stood up and said, church, preacher needs a new camper. We ought to get him one. They bought me a new Jayco. Look, I didn't ask him. I didn't ask God for a camper. I didn't ask him for an old one. He gave me a new one. Say, why would he do that? I was willing to honor him with what I could. And he saw that. Listen to me, folks. I'm not trying to boast. I ain't nothing. I'm trying to show you a Bible principle. If you're willing to do what God said, I'm telling you, God will do his part. He'll honor it. My God shall supply all your need. Is that what it says? Amen. And he'll do it only if you'll do the things that we just described in the verses prior to that. And if you don't, you can hang it on your refrigerator, hang it on the wall, hang it on the mirror. It will not work.
That's right.
Stand with me, please.